And now I am so honored to be introducing one of our newest members, Dr. Nancy S. Hart. Dr. Hart is an MD retired from a distinguished career who continues to be involved with community leadership. I have a fairly long bio, but I want to read it because it's incredibly impressive. Dr. Nancy S. Hart is Professor Emerita of Pathology and Obstetrics and Gynecology at the University of Florida College of Medicine. Most recently, she directed the Health Disparities and Services Learning Programs, including the Mobile Outreach Clinic. She co-founded the undergraduate minor in Health Disparities in Society. She learned policy as a Robert Wood Johnson Health Policy Fellow, during which time she worked as a health legislative advisor for Senator Jeff Bingham of New Mexico and Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi. In retirement, she collaborates with community leaders to address local health equity issues, specifically early childhood brain development, as an important social determinant of adult health. A health report card for Alachua County was developed by Dr. Hart. Key indicators were mapped, resulting in numerous community actions to respond to highlighted health inequities. She spearheaded the university response, the Mobile Outreach Clinic. In 7 years of operation, more than 28,000 free healthcare visits were provided. The efforts resulted in a significant reduction in premature births and documented cases of child abuse and neglect. She co-founded the innovative Intimate Prime Partner Violence Clinic in conjunction with the College of Law, in which law and medical students learn together how best to meet the needs of victims. This clinic has over 99% success obtaining orders of protection on behalf of their clients, more than twice the rate of success in this community. The law-medicine partnership led to formation of Peace for Gainesville, which seeks to reduce trauma and enhance resilience for children and adults. These outreach efforts were recognized and awarded by numerous organizations. And she was invited to speak at the United Nations High-Level Forum on the Culture of Peace in September 2017. So I'm really thrilled to have Nancy come and speak to us.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
How's the sound check? I'm used to giving talks, but not without slides, so I'm way beyond my comfort zone. So I'm going to sort of read this. I wanted to mention that I usually thank people for inviting me to come and speak, but in this case, I invited myself. because I wanted to share news of this work that we have done in my wintertime home in Florida. Work which started with an improbable partnership between me, a physician, and our sheriff, the highest ranking law enforcement officer. The sheriff and I, plus other community partners, began to address, without knowing it, items on the UN Sustainable Development Agenda. These include inequalities in healthcare access and outcomes, inequalities in educational access and outcomes, violence against women, and poverty. How, you might ask, is the UN Sustainable Development Agenda of interest to us at Mountain Light? Because the agenda is not very different from the seven Unitarian Universalist principles, which allude to the inherent worth and dignity of every person, justice, equity, and compassion, and a goal of a worldwide community living in peace. So I'll share the results of this rather unusual doctor-sheriff partnership first, so that you might be interested to hear the rest of the story. After using data and maps to identify the neighborhoods suffering the greatest inequities, we brought neighborhood-based services to them, which within 4 years resulted in a reduction in unintended pregnancies, a reduction in premature births, and a stunning 45% reduction in child abuse and neglect. You might ask, what kind of community was this where such changes could be made so fast? Alachua County is about 10 times the size of us here, and it has many advantages. There are over 3,000 counties in the U.S., and it ranks in the 97th percentile, or the top 3%, on clean air and fresh water availability. However, Alachua's child-focused rankings demonstrate the inequities. The county ranked in the worst 100 counties in the country on infant mortality, which is the death of infants in the first year of life. The most common cause of infant mortality is premature birth, which is widely known to occur more commonly in women who are stressed. By stressed, we mean women who have bad, sad, or scary things happening in their lives. And now I think you may begin to see that what we learned about addressing stress in these women may well apply to people in any locale who are experiencing civil war, who suffer discrimination, who are struggling with or fleeing man-made or natural disasters, like the refugees we talked about earlier. People living in these circumstances all have bad, sad, or scary things happening in their lives. In Alachua County, I attribute our success to three types of stress reduction interventions: healthcare, services for victims of domestic violence, and provision of concrete family supports, such as food, clothing, and shelter. Let's start with the healthcare, because that's the service I had the biggest part in. When we made the GIS hotspot maps to highlight the neighborhood suffering inequities, a colleague suggested that we enlarge the maps and mount them on poster board to share with community groups who may be interested in partnering. At first, I thought this was a crazy idea because I do everything with PowerPoints. But now I believe this was perhaps the ideal first step in our effort. There is something about maps that got our partners energized like no other data form that I can think of. Showing the data encouraged others to share their data with us, and soon we had overlapping hotspots for health disparities, domestic violence, child abuse and neglect, as well as poor school performance and food deserts. Certain neighborhoods were failing to meet the needs of the residents, and in turn, children and young families were failing to meet community expectations for success. Faced with the maps, people wanted to help. For example, two colleagues who saw the map donated a clinic on wheels to me, gave it to me here, and suggested that we take healthcare to the neighborhoods. I had been taking care of dead people for more than 10 years, and I sort of forgot which end of the stethoscope goes in your ears, and I had to get it out, dust it off, put new tubing on it, and listen to Love Dub tapes again. But we managed to get volunteer health professionals to staff a free clinic, which visited these identified neighborhoods on a regular schedule. No appointments were needed. When we asked patients what service they would like from the clinic, an astonishing number of women requested pregnancy testing. If their tests were negative, our nurse asked each woman whether she was happy or sad with that result. We learned that these vulnerable women in these neighborhoods did not always have the luxury of choosing the day for sex, the time for sex, or even the partner for sex. Therefore, the majority were relieved to hear that they were not pregnant. We offered them long-acting reversible contraception free. The birth control shot lasted 3 months, and we told them to return if they would like another injection. They came back, and sometimes they brought their daughters, or their mothers, or their aunts, or their girlfriends, or their neighbors who wanted the shot also. Without intending to, our free clinic on wheels became a trusted source of family planning. When the sheriff looked at our map for health inequities, she said, woman sheriff, do you like that?
Yes.
Go Gainesville. Yeah. She said that her hotspots for calls to 911 for service overlapped with our hotspots for health. Review of her call data showed that the most common reason for calls was domestic violence. Most of the victims were women. The sheriff responded. When entering the home, sheriff's deputies were trained to ask each victim 11 questions about their partner, such as, has your partner ever threatened to kill you? Do you think your partner is capable of killing you? Does your partner have a gun? Has your partner ever threatened to commit suicide? Does your partner use too much alcohol? Has your partner ever choked you? Has your partner ever harmed or threatened to harm your pet, your loved ones, or your most cherished possessions? Victims who answered yes to three or more of the questions were told by the deputy that in his or her experience, they were at very increased risk of being murdered by their partner. Victims were then given the opportunity to use the deputy's cell phone to speak to the domestic violence service provider in our area. By using the deputy's phone, the perpetrator would not be able to see that call when monitoring the victim's cell phone. Furthermore, a team of law enforcement, victims' advocates, and child advocates held case conferences reviewing those at highest risk, providing well-being checks, free counseling, and advocates in the courthouse looking out for them. The third intervention was the establishment of neighborhood resource centers, which provided many services, the most popular being concrete family supports. Sometimes the bad, sad, or scary things that bring stress to these lives was not having enough food, having the electricity turned off, being evicted or kicked out of a home, or needing clothing for a job interview or cold weather. So we did three interventions to address inequities in our community: health care, including reproductive care, increased safety in the home, especially for victims of domestic violence and their children, and assured availability of concrete family supports in times of need. Which brings me back to Gilmer County. Nobody's saying that Gilmer County is exactly the same as Alachua County. So I started trolling around to find local data to inform us what's going on here in Gilmer. I found actually a treasure trove of data from Principal Carla Foley of Gilmer High School. She decided last October to do a needs assessment for her students. There are about 1,200 students at Gilmer High, but she offered the surveys to the 900 sophomores, juniors, and seniors and received 500 responses. If anyone knows anything about survey research, that's pretty good. Her goal was to discover how to remove barriers to high school graduation. With her permission, I'd like to share some things from the survey which stood out to me, and I'm going to group them into categories: academics, health, relationships, and concrete supports. In academics, 71% of students said they'd be interested in a mentoring program. Yeah. 74% said they'd like help with study skills, time management, and organization of their time and tasks. 85% said they would like help with college selection. 88% said they would like SAT, ACT test prep. And then when I saw those numbers, I thought, that can't be right. There have to be plenty of functional parents in Gilmer County. But then I remembered, when you're in high school, you don't think your parents are functional. Yeah. Here's a shocking one. 80% say they would like help with financial planning, such as whether they should buy stuff or rent stuff, should they manage their credit, and how should they file income taxes. And 66% said they just would like a quiet place to study in the afternoons or on the weekends. 66% of high school kids. In terms of health, this is my biggest shocker. 70% said they were under stress and would like help dealing with it. 54% labeled their problem anxiety, and 48% said depression. 36% said they would like help and would like to know more about suicide prevention, either for themselves or their classmates. 30% said they would like help to address cutting and self-harm. 30% said they would like help with addictions to tobacco, vaping, drugs, or alcohol. So that was the health category. Let's move on to relationships. 71% said they would like help with resisting bullying and harassment. 74% said they would like help building healthy relationships. 36% said they'd like help ending toxic relationships. And 27% said they would like help with dating violence. 25% wanted help with their own sexual identity issues, while another 22% wanted help understanding their LGBT parents. Yeah. In terms of concrete supports, which we learned was really important in Gainesville, 56% had personal health concerns. The same percentage was also interested in having an on-site clinic at Gilmer. 45% said they needed help with personal hygiene products and services like showers. 40% would like help with food. They're hungry. 37% would like access to laundry facilities. 36% a clothes closet. 32% homelessness issues. 38% said they'd like to identify a place where their parents can get a GED. 28% have issues with incarceration of their parents. And 26% don't even live with their parents. They're in foster care or in some other living circumstance. And then regarding immigration, 9% of the students who answered the survey, and who knows if all of them were brave enough to answer it, there were 44, said that they had issues regarding immigration. 50% need sponsors. 59% need assistance gaining legitimate citizenship. And 54% wanted assistance with DACA. So, I'm sorry I've triggered a few people here, but I really thought, because when I first came to Gainesville, I told someone else new today that I was directed to Mountain Light as the place where the social justice people are. I'm sure that you are working on some of these things, but I thought there might be other things that we could think of we could do together to help out this really progressive principle. I've never heard of a principle surveying kids about the social determinants of educational success. And I've been teaching about these same social determinants as social determinants of health. How cool that everything now comes full circle back to successful education. So I want to be quiet for a few minutes and see if anyone wants to respond, either with things you're doing that I need to know about and Carla would like to know about, or things we could do as a group to respond to these identified needs. And also, I'm really a data nerd. I'm a complete data nerd. I spent hours with this data. If you know of other data sources, and I tried using public data sources, there's very little good public data about children in this county. I don't know why. But I thought this was a really robust needs assessment, because I don't think there's too much difference between the children who attend public school and the children who are homeschooled or in private school or in, what are the other schools called? Charter schools. I mean, kids are kids, right? So I guess I'm gonna just be quiet for a minute and see if anybody has anything to add. Wow, what, do you guys wanna? So we have one huge problem in Alachua County that we don't have, at least I haven't identified it here in Gilmer County, and that is there's a pretty big African American population in Gainesville, which is absolutely impeded from success through racism. So I'm not standing here saying racism is the problem that I see in Gainesville. But there's this silent group of Hispanic immigrants here and their children. And the few Hispanic immigrants who I've actually hired to work at my house and do things, when I see them interacting with their children, I'm very impressed that these are intact families. They're doing a lot of good things on behalf of their children. But even if those children are ready to go to college, who's going to help them navigate that? Because I don't believe their parents, I mean, it's hard enough for someone of means to navigate their child into higher ed or some kind of a career after high school. I just can't imagine how you would do it if you hadn't gone to college yourself and you had a bright child. So there are tons of mentoring opportunities. So the principal wanted mentors, but there are also structured mentoring opportunities that I'm particularly interested in, where they identify children in eighth grade who are probably bright enough to succeed in getting into college, but their parents have not been to college. And if you think about it, you really do need to start in eighth grade, because what those kids take in eighth grade and ninth grade has everything to do with how they do on the SAT and the ACT at the end. So how interesting that they've identified these talented children, and we could mentor some of them. I'm sort of interested in the ones who are Spanish speaking, because I think they have significant disadvantage, and it would be really interesting, a project for us, to find out which colleges around here welcome these students, and we'll make sure that they succeed once they do get to college. You guys?
The mentorship program is getting going here in Gilmer County with Carla Foley and Ken Sanford. They're looking for 125 mentors, I believe is their goal. The commitment would be to meet with your student, I think twice a month. It's during the school day, although certainly you could visit with that student even more. So that is getting going, and if anyone's interested, I don't have the information with me, but I can put you in contact with the people if you want to get an application.
Okay, could everyone hear that?
No.
Yep. There's a big mentoring program. Carla Foley has identified she needs more than 100 mentors for her students, and we're going to have the application brought here in case we want to participate. It requires a commitment of 2 meetings a month with your mentee.
While you were speaking,
I'm sort of glad you brought that up, because one of the things that I didn't include in the speech that I wanted to say was we are kind of a white group. And, you know, I don't know how to bring more ethnic diversity into the group. I don't know. Nancy?
People of color are rather rare here, but my granddaughter is a literature teacher in an all-black school in Savannah, and they didn't have funding for books, and she has had one fund drive for a book so that each of her students could have this book that referred, well, it was relevant to them and to their lives. And she now has a second fund drive to get a second book to hand out to all of her students. So that, of course, Savannah is a good long way from here. Another thing, have you been in contact with the Craddock Center? These are preschoolers primarily, but it has been started for the benefit of poor Appalachian children. And you will find that they are sponsoring a number of Head Start programs. handing books out to children. Right now they're having a camp for these children, and they bring songs, music, and dance and other cultural things to the Appalachian children.
So if I can just be nerdy for a second, there are two times in childhood brain development that are really, really important. One is 0 to 4, before they ever reach kindergarten, and the other one is adolescence. So what gaps we leave in young children, we need to make up during adolescence, because those are the chances where their brain's really, really growing, a lot of new connections, and you can fix stuff.
Statistics concerning the expressed need of high school students for financial education. This is a scandal in this country that it isn't provided. I am a financial advisor, and I am committed to the idea of personal financial literacy, and I give workshops and talks, and if you can put me in touch with somebody in Gilbert County, with whom I work, I'd like to provide these services free of charge.
Mike.
Yeah, I'm shocked. I'm shocked about this survey. I'm shocked that 40-some% of kids say they're suffering from anxiety or have difficulties therewith, and the other 48% say they have troubles with depression. And so I think you're going to have a mentorship program. You need a mentorship training program to help mentors to understand what they're looking at and what they're hearing from kids. You know, and like you said, the deputies would ask these 11 questions. And will the mentors be able to have a set of questions that they can ask of their own, mentees? I don't know.
But
you want to know that.
And be trained how you're supposed to respond when they say, yeah, I'm cutting, or I'd really like to overdose on my dad's pills. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I volunteer as out of the Gilmer County Community Food Center. I work as an interviewer because we have to verify that they are Gilmer County residents, and we ask them about their income. And a lot of the things you've said, some of these people, it's amazing what they have experienced, because they will talk and tell you about that. And what I find a basic need that they need, a lot of these individuals who come in there have major health concerns. And there's no option for them. If they're not eligible for Medicare, they don't really have a way. So we have a few references we can make for them. But they were really in need of good medical care in this county, and it's not available to them, but on a very limited schedule. And to just add to this, the number of Hispanic families that come in are not all that many. They're probably, they would be 10%, more than 10% of the population who comes into that food pantry for food. And these families are usually quite large. They have 8, 9 children, so they're usually quite large families. But the father is working. He's working at the chicken factory. So they do have income, but...
That may be the right amount, because Carla had 9% immigrant students.
Yeah, so there...
So that's about the right number.
There isn't that many Hispanic families that come in. And... But I think that we need some kind of medical care for the people in this community that aren't eligible for Medicare yet. It's really a need. I had one woman come in who had been diagnosed with bilateral ovarian cancer. I said, have you been seeing your doctor? And she said, no. And I asked her when the diagnosis was made, and she said 6 months ago. I hated to tell her that prospects now were very, very slim, but I didn't. I just told her she should be seeking some kind of medical help. And she has no alternative. She had no family, nothing. So, I mean, we have a real need there.
Yeah. I'd just kind of like to speak to the mindset that a lot of the families may have that, you know, maybe they're working for Cherokee, but they were poultry plant workers, my dad and my mom, my grandparents, some of them were also. I mean, we got by, but there was a whole lot left over. But I was a straight A student in Cherokee High School, ninth grade. And we were at dinner, we all sat around the dinner table in the evening when my parents would get home from work, and my grandmother, we stayed with my grandmother. I was just talking about going to college. I was in ninth grade. And my dad looked over. I love my dad. He's passed on, and in his later years, he got a little more gentle than he was then. But he looked at me dead in my eyes, and he said, "You need to shut up about going to college because you'll never graduate high school." He only went through sixth grade. My mom made through 11th. So there's a lot of these kids that are probably coming from similar backgrounds, but, you know, they don't. And even with my straight A's, there was not a counselor in my school that told me I was eligible to even get a scholarship. So I wound up, my first job was poultry plant. And I graduated from high school at the age of 16 because I just by my dad, I was going to show you.
So Lorraine, are you thinking you would have benefited by having a mentor from outside your family?
Yes. I definitely, because I had nobody to encourage me to do that. I could do anything. I eventually got a college degree, but it was in 2010. I was in my 40s.
Go, girl.
I had a similar situation. I wanted to be a child psychologist when I was a kid, but my dad said, "You'll never make it." And I had no one to help me figure out how to go to school.
Yeah, what do you think, Casey?
Yeah.
We could sign up.
info@mouc.org.
And would I'm seeing my time is up. I'm getting the hook.
No, if there's any other
how about if we ask Carla Foley to come? She was on vacation today, but we might be able to get her to come. Would you like that? Yeah. So Gilmer would become a community school, basically.
Right.
That,
so
I think that's a great idea. That's a great idea.
So if Carla can't come, Lee Colburn is the one talking and working with our students.
Well, there's even, you know, when we have Carla, it's really important that students have clean clothes to go to school, and that has been shown to be, in high school, a reason that students don't go. It's because they don't have clean clothes. So perhaps in the future we could use our resources and some of our...
We have a drop-off laundry service at the high school already.
Do they?
Okay.
You know, a long time
there's a lot going on. Well, thank everybody for your attention and your brilliant ideas. I think we're going to put some energy to it.